Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Alkem Laboratories Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumit Gupta from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Welcome to the 4Q FY23 earnings call of Alkem Laboratories. From the management side, we have Mr. Sandeep Singh, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Dubey, CFO, Mr. Amit Ghare, President, International Business, Mr. Yogesh Kaushal, President, Chronic Division, and Mr. Amit Khandelia from the finance team. Over to you, Amit, for the opening remarks.
Thank you, Sumit. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Alkem Laboratories Q4 FY23 and full year FY23 earnings call. Earlier during the day, we have released our financial results and investor presentation, and the same are also posted on our website. Hope you have had a chance to look at it. To discuss the business performance and outlook going forward, we have on this call the senior management team of Alkem. Before I proceed with this call, I'd like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded and the call transcript will be made available on our website as well. I would also like to add that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements, and same must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that our business faces. After the end of this call, if any of your queries remain unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Sandeep Singh to present the key highlights of the quarter gone by and strategy going forward. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thank you, Amit. Good afternoon, everyone. I will talk about key operations and strategic highlights and then leave the floor open for Q&A. On the domestic front, during the year, we had done exceptionally well on launch of new products. Contribution of new introductions to our growth was 3.1%, significantly surpassing the industry, which is at  2.3%. We had some very encouraging new launches during the year. We launched Dapanorm Trio in anti-diabetic therapy and are ranked number one in this molecule. We had one of the most successful launches of Sitagliptin in this year in an extremely crowded market where there are more than 50 players. We rank among the top five in this molecule. We also launched Sacuval in January of this year, which came after Vymada went off patent. We are among the top players in this molecule as well. When you consider this fact against the background of we not being among the top 25 in cardiac, this is a good achievement. We look forward to carry this momentum of market-beating performance in the domestic franchisee in the following year as well. During the quarter, there was an exceptional item on account of impairment of assets, which has impacted profit before tax to the tune of 103 crores. We have taken a call to discontinue a St. Louis plant, which was meant for controlled substances due to the structural changes happening in the U.S. market. We understand that our EBITDA margin for the quarter and year is subdued, and we are working towards that. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mitesh Shah from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. My first question is regarding the discontinue of this plant. What would be the operational benefit because of this, the impairment we have done and the discontinuing the plant?
I think there are some financial benefits. I will let our CFO answer that, but Mr. Dubey.
Yeah. We expect to save our operating expenses to the tune of 100-110 crores. Just having your mind, this year, entire 100 or 110 crore is not going to come because we may continue this plant for another month or two.
Okay. It would be like a 10 months of benefit we'll see then this particular year.
Around 8-9 months you can say.
Got it. And the with this restructuring, how do we see the margin going forward? Because this was one of the tough year for margin, definitely.
Mr. Dubey, you can.
Yeah, so margin, actually, in fact, in our last call, our MD, he has already given guidance on margin front. So we'll stick to our commitment, and we'll definitely add 200 basis points over what we have right now. So I think we are going to be, and we have to be somewhere close to 16% kind of situation.
Got it, got it. And the our other international markets growth are remain strong. What would be the reason this quarter, and how would we look at going forward other international market growth?
Mr. Amit Ghare, if you can take that, please.
Sure, thank you. We've been focusing on a few key geographies over the last few years, and that's now kind of paying dividends, actually has been paying dividends for last several quarters. So we'll continue on that pathway. As our business reaches a certain size and scale, the percentage growth may come down. And, you know, overall as a company, in any case, we are focusing on quality business and margin business rather than chasing revenue. So you'll notice the business continuing to grow. The rate of growth may come down going forward.
Got it. Thanks. And the, about the UAs, what about the pricing scenario over there? It would be reduced to a single digit, or still it would be a double digit price erosion for us?
Amit, you could answer that, Amit.
Sandeep, do you want me to? Yes. Okay, thank you. During the entire fiscal year, the deflation was in double digits for us, and I understand your question is whether it will come down to single digits. In Q4, we saw a bit of an ease on the pricing side, but we continue to have pricing deflation. Now, going forward, will we end up with single digits? I think we are definitely hopeful that it will be in single digits for FY24.
Got it. And this last bookkeeping question, what would be the tax rate for 24-25?
We'll be somewhere around 14% kind of effective tax.
So this particular year we closed with the higher tax rate. What would be the reason for that? Around, I think, effective tax rate itself is 21%.
In fact, we talked about one exceptional item. There is another exceptional item in that, and that is in tax. So deferred tax assets to the tune of 100 crores, we reversed in this quarter four and YTD, March 23. So that is the reason why you see our effective tax rate on the higher side. But for next year, we'll be 14% or 14.5%.
Got it. Thanks. That is from my end.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. Next question comes from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So one question on other expenses, you know, if you exclude R&D expenses, your SG&A expenses is pretty high quarter on quarter. As well as year on year. So any specific reason for it, and how do you see ahead in FY24?
So Rashmi, you are very right. Your observation is very correct. And especially quarter four, it was on higher side because just immediately previous year to this year, our marketing expense, it was muted to certain extent. And and we kept on engaging around 1,000 field guys every year in last 5 years. So our sales and marketing expense, definitely it was on a higher side, particularly conference expense. Actually, first time we got opportunity to have conference in a bigger way. That was the reason. But going forward, on other expense front, we expect somewhere around 23.5 to 24% kind of situation. And that is really a normal situation in our case. Obviously, this time it is on our side.
So you mean to say that other expenses, including R&D, would be in the range of 23-24%? Okay, for FY24. And then when you are saying that, you know, there would be a 400 basis points improvement in the EBITDA margin, I understand that, you know, we might be seeing some softening in the input cost and the freight has also come down. But what are the other factors that would lead to this kind of expansion in FY24? I mean, if you can just give us, like, you know, 200 basis points, where all we can achieve?
Yes, Dhruvji, you can go.
Yeah. So when we talk 200 basis points, we talk consolidated. Of course, it's not any single lever of addition to ultimate EBITDA margin. Definitely, softening of API price is one of it. And in last call also, managing director, he hinted, we are working on so many cost optimization drives. So we believe we'll be able to achieve our expectation. Then operating leverage is another thing. So manpower, what we have added, that is going to pay us going forward. And our internal working, it shows us we'll be able to achieve 200 basis points.
Okay. And that includes by saving the expenses to nearly 80-90 crores, you know, from this plant, right?
Yes. Yes. You're right.
Okay. Okay. And my second question is on India business. What was our trade generic contribution as on FY23? And what was the growth for the entire year? And how do we see ahead in FY24 and FY25?
So see, trade generic contribution to the business is 21%. For the entire year.
Okay. And what was the growth in FY23 in only in trade generics?
It's around 5%.
5%. But then how do we see ahead in FY24-25?
You are talking only trade generic or talking about...
Only trade generics.
Almost similarly.
Similarly. Okay, sir, I have more questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Excuse me, sir.
Let me correct myself. Trade generic will be close to double digit.
Close to double digit. Okay, low double digit, you mean?
Yeah, low double digit.
Okay, and that would continue to grow in that range only?
Yeah, we are hoping so. That will continue to grow at that range.
Okay, sir. I have more questions. I'll get back in the queue.
So, Rashmi, just to clarify, you said 400 basis point improvement on EBITDA margin. So, it's not 400 basis point. It's 200 basis point improvement over FY23.
Yeah, so 200 basis point only I asked.
Yeah.
From 14% to 16%.
We understand. Wonderful.
Yeah. Got it, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So the first one on the plant saving that we have done, would you be able to provide some color as to which line item this 80-90 crores will flow in? And secondly, is there any severance-related costs, etc., which is there in this quarter or expected in quarter one?
Yeah. When we say OpEx, actually, it will go line by line. So something will go in personnel cost, something will go in other expenses. And it has to be all across because we, as per reporting norms, whatever heads we have, it is going to go all across. So let me just correct our understanding. This 100 crore kind of saving is annualized. So this year, we expect we'll be able to save at least for 7-8 months. So accordingly, it will come down. So whether it is 60 crore or 70 crore, time will say. But our estimate is for 7 to 8 months.
Correct. And will there be any, you know, cost, one-time cost associated with it, like severance, etc.? Because I think in U.S., you know, we have to pay.
Yes, I'm answering you that, factoring that. We're telling you net.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. 100-110 is net on an annual basis, and then we are expecting 70-80.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. And I think our employee expense on a quarter-on-quarter basis, I think, has come down a little bit. So is it more, you know, because of the accounting where we would have provided more bonus, etc., incentives earlier or something, or is it something that the base is and we, you know, So this is a new base of 500 crore. Earlier we were around 525 crore and before that 570.
So there was some rationalization in manpower, in R&D and manufacturing because mm-hmm. of the business pressures we have.
Okay, so basically 20 crore is the quarterly saving and which should continue going forward in your view?
No, it's not that much at all. It must be, like lopsided this quarter because there was a silver in Spain in the last quarter. So therefore you're seeing a lumpiness over here. You could see a 10 crore saving because of this every quarter.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. And lastly, on the trade generics, I think sir said that trade generics is around 21. I think as far as I remember, last year it was around 22, and we have trade generics has grown at double digit, and versus our India business has grown at around 7.8.
No, we didn't say trade generics grew by double digits. We said for next year, for this year that is. The question the lady asked Mr. Agarwal was on last year. We grew by single digits over there in trade generics.
Okay, single digits.
Yes.
Perfect. And now we would be more or less in the RX, like whatever prescription business, India business growth, more or less in line with that.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more, but round about that.
Okay, perfect. I have more questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on gross margins. So last few quarters, we have talked about U.S. pricing pressure, etc. And so this quarter, the U.S. contribution is also lower, but still the gross margin is still muted. So is it got to do with the high raw material prices, which has still not come down, or there is more to read into it?
Oh, you're right, Prakash. Actually, materials which we procured earlier, ultimately we consumed in this quarter. So, in short, I want to say whatever we sold in this quarter, it was manufactured against material which we procured in earlier quarter when prices were on higher side. And then the second, let's have in our mind this NLEM, it came in quarter four. And NLEM is also having impact on this gross margin, if you are referring quarter only.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see annual for the year, yes, pricing pressure in U.S. market and the depletion in prices there, that is a major contributor. But when you see quarter closely, DPCO, and then higher material cost, which we procured in earlier quarter, we consumed in this quarter.
So are we done with using old high-cost inventory, and from first quarter we will be with the low-cost inventory, or how do we think about it?
See, even today also we don't see material prices coming in line with pre-COVID level. But the pingy kind of material, they have started showing positive trend. So, but I think it takes normally 3 to 4 months because you procure and then you manufacture and then you sell. And then impact is going to come. So
maybe second quarter onwards, we will see the raw material price.
Yes, I believe so. Second quarter onward, it will be getting softening a little bit.
And the second piece you said, the NLEM impact, so we must have taken price hike in April, so that offset should be seen in Q1, or that also we will see from Q2?
Again, when you have material, normally even finished goods also we keep for 1.5 or 2 months. So even though you implement NLEM or you take fresh batches in the month of April or May, It takes little bit time to get consumed your earlier manufactured, and then your new product is going to go in market. So approximately around 3 months it takes in this entire process. So I think by June we'll be starting of taking advantage of price increase. But again, it will be second quarter when everything is going to come.
Okay, perfect. Understood. And one clarification on, the comment made. So earlier we were looking at 15% EBITDA margin. We gave it around 14 and we had talked about 200 basis points. So we are talking about 17% EBITDA margin for 24 or 16% EBITDA margin?
16, Prakash, 16.
Okay, understood. And lastly, on the U.S. sales, so how should we think about it? Do we see the impact due to closure or the products which were manufactured already outsourced to CROs, or how should we think about U.S. going forward from here?
Sorry, Prakash, I didn't get your question. On what parameter, like, do you mean, Prakash?
In terms of sales, so
Yeah.
we had the exit run rate of, say, $70 million. So with the plant shutting down, do we see some impact of
No, Prakash, because I'll let Mr. Amit here elaborate, but this plant was not contributing more than 2, 3% to U.S. anyways. And
Okay.
going forward also, it should not impact. Amit, you have comments, please go ahead, Amit.
No, you're right. And in fact, the contribution was less than 2% on the revenue side. So the revenue loss is very marginal. And overall, we are expecting a small growth in the U.S. business in dollar terms and all.
So growth on a base of fiscal 23.
That's correct. Overall. Not a huge
What's
growth.
What's the count as on fiscal 23, sir? Field force?
Okay, Yogesh, MR count. MR count as an data.
As a company, we are around 12,000 overall as an organization.
12,000 MRs. This is with the managers or
No,
just the
this is without managers. This is only representatives.
And with the managers, sir?
So around 45% odd is the managers to the representative, all managers put together, right from area manager to the sales heads.
So
to
load 45% on 12,000
around managers, yeah.
Okay, that would be a big number.
Sorry?
It is a
big number, yeah.
So 5,000 people, so about 17,000 people we have on the field plus managers.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
At a group level.
Yeah, consolidation.
At a group level, for sure, for sure. Okay, I have more questions, I'll run them. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. Next question comes from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on specialty business, specialty portfolio in India. So obviously you have done very well in anti-diabetic space, but cardiac is something I believe where you are lagging versus the market growth. And if I remember correctly, you mentioned you are planning for some change in strategy, etc. So can you update on a cardiac part, because that again is a big market, and
yeah.
How do you see a specialty portfolio going as part of your India business in say next 3 to 5 years?
So you have two questions. One is about the cardiac and second is overall specialty. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. So see, let me answer first cardiac. I mentioned about slight change in our strategic approach towards cardiology. So we initially were focusing on niche product, I repeat again, because we were focusing too much on anticoagulants and antiplatelets, which are a little difficult and niche market. So what we have done in the last quarter is we are focusing more on mass-based cardiology products, which are your antihypertensives and lipid regulators. So we will be focusing more and we are seeing results there. Last quarter, the cardiac growth was close to around 1.8 and this quarter it has reached almost 5.5 while the market is growing at 8.5%. So we are almost touching the market growth in cardiology and this will take little time, but the strategic approach has started yielding results. So this is how the cardiology will be placed. That doesn't mean that we will not focus on niche, but the larger focus will remain on mass products, uses molecule. Overall specialty, yes, diabeto, almost all newer molecules which are going off patent, we are targeting. So we have launched Depa, Vilda, Sita. So all these are launched. Various combinations will be launched. So, and we are currently leading almost, we are among the top five in all these categories. So, diabetology, we are strengthening and we are going strong. We are currently 15th and we hope that in another 2-3 years, we should be among the top 10. In CNS, we are already ranked 7th and for the month, we are among the top 5. So, my expectation is, you know, we should consolidate and CNS, in a year or two, we should be on an annual basis also, we should be amongst the top 5. dermatology and urology, we are consolidating. We are growing 2x to 2.5x faster than the market. And fifth is our cardiology, where we are almost touching the market growth. I assume maybe two quarter more, we should be able to surpass the market.
Okay, so compared to your anti-infective growth, which is major part of your India business right now, once you sort out some of these issues in cardio part, we should assume that specialty will be growing much faster than the acute portfolio?
Yeah, so that is, currently also is happening.
Yeah.
Chronic is currently growing at around 21 to 22%. While acute is growing at around 7 to 8%, so chronic is sustaining a growth level of around 21% versus market of around 10%.
Okay, understood. Related question to in the overall this year, obviously Sandeep mentioned in his opening remarks that contribution from new launches were much better versus your own historical performance and against the market. So, say for 24, how much we, how should we look at growth drivers, say volume, price, and new launches for the India overall India business?
Yeah, so see, while the industry still shows a muted growth of unit, but we are still very bullish that as a company, we should be able to drive a double-digit unit growth. So we will have major growth drivers this year will be a unit and a marginal, contribution will come from NRV and from the new products. So larger will be volume-driven growth.
Okay. Thanks. And my last question is on your R&D. So R&D, obviously, we continue to see uptrend in recent quarters because of your progress in pipeline products, etc. So how should we look at this number in, say, 24 and beyond? As a percentage of sales?
5 to 5.5. We have always maintained that. That should be what it will be.
Okay. So it will stay within that
range. It will stay within that range, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the
queue.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. So I think you mentioned double-digit growth for India and FY24. So I'm just wondering, which therapies do you expect? Because it's unlikely that gastro or, pain could repeat the kind of, high teens growth that you reported this year. So just wondering where the growth could be coming from.
Yeah, so see, our acute, we said as a company will grow at a double digit, right? At an early double digit, which means around 11 types, 10 to 11%. So we still expect acute to continue to grow at around 8 to 9% growth, and chronic will sustain a growth level of 22% types. So as a company, we will continue to grow at around 10 to 11%.
Okay, fair enough. And secondly, I still don't completely understand your margin guidance. So I understand the 200 bps, and we expect 16% margin. Last time around, it got to 17%. Now, see, in the last 3 months, I guess we have had some tailwinds from lower input costs, that will benefit you in the coming year. I think freight costs also would have come down, plus the St. Louis plant, where we're expecting some 50, 60 crore savings coming this year. So there have been more tailwinds than headwinds, but still, the absolute margins coming from 17 to 16%. So is the cost of business actually going up and, maybe a normal cost, the savings are really not there?
No, I think, first thing, these things don't happen overnight. So obviously we had anticipated St. Louis closure even when we spoke to you all last time. Though we were not sure when we will do it, but we obviously knew. So all that was factored in when we said it will be a 200 basis point increase. RM going down, the stuff you said, obviously, Mr. Dubey answered that previously. For it to kick in takes time. So those benefits will only come going forward. We were a little aggressive on the marketing side this quarter on sales and marketing. So our SG&A expense was still up by what we thought we would be by 30-40 CR. But yeah, so, what specifically do you think is kind of not very clear to you?
So my question, Sandeep, is this, that, see, I mean, prior to COVID, you were doing somewhere around, let's say, 18% kind of margin, right? 17-18% kind of steady-state margins, right? So the fact is that maybe next year you'll do 16, year after that maybe 17-17.5%. So it seems that, you know, to generate every 100 rupee of sale, the OpEx has actually gone up significantly.
So,
is my understanding correct?
I'm not sure. See, I'll tell you, the gross margins have come down if you compare to pre-COVID. Look at the cost of cephalosporins, like Penicillin G, China, we all keep hearing. You have to look at us differently. We are one of the few companies who have a very high acute portfolio. So when you compare to others and all, it might not be apple to apple. It's basically because the RM cost has gone up. I think we have lost 200 basis points there, but Mr. Dubey can, you know, guide me better there. So it's mainly because of that. So cost of business has gone up. In a way, it's right, but only because of gross margins. Not that we're having operation challenges and things like that. Yes.
Got it. And just one more, if I can squeeze in. I think the St. Louis plant closing down seems like a welcome step. But in terms of, I think, to always improve the U.S. margins, I think the product launch quality also plays a very important role. So would you like to maybe point out the kind of launches that you should expect in the next couple of years that can really improve the U.S. gross margins?
I'll let Mr. Amit Ghare answer that.
Kunal, we've always focused on quality than quantity. We've never launched, more than 15 products in a year. So our, focus going forward will remain launching better products, filing better products, and obviously launching better products and launching on time. That is also very important. Yes, we are focusing on that.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. I had two questions. First, which was just asked by the earlier participant. I think this year, especially towards the end of the year, there was very good benefit for anti-infectives and respiratory from very strong flu season, I think, in large parts of the country. So do you think, given we have a decently large anti-infective, does that create a tough base for us as we go into FY24?
Your voice is not clear, but whatever I understood, you are saying that last quarter the anti-infective growth was very good, and do we expect similar trend for the next year? Is this your question?
No, I'm saying, does that create a tougher base for us next year, given, I'm not sure if such a strong flu season will repeat again.
So this year was a bad year, I think, for anti-infectives.
No, I'm just looking at the quarter four growth. Seems to be 20% plus then.
Yeah, no, the quarter four is unlikely to continue because particularly respiratory pain, these benefited because of flu. So yeah, that certainly will not continue in the next year. Unlikely, because, those kind of predictions is very, very difficult to make. But flu benefits will surely not be there next year. That's what we foresee.
Got it. And just secondly, our tax rate is quite low at 14-15%. Like, when do we expect that to normalize, like the tax benefits that we have? Maybe at some facilities, when does that normalize for us? And what does it normalize to and by when?
So, Madhav, that is a good thing. Our effective tax rate is on the lower side. And actually, we have this tax advantage for our Sikkim facility till March 26. So, after that, definitely, effective tax is going to be in normal. We'll see whether to go with old regime or new regime. That is our point of discussion, but it will become normal. Yes, of course, we do have a lot of MAT available with us, which we'll be using going forward. So on cash front, we'll still be having advantage after that also. Am I able to clarify you?
Understood. So, so the P&L tax rate would move to the normal 25% most likely FY27 onwards.
Yeah, I said we will evaluate whether to remain with old regime or new. It will depend. But yes, till March 26, we'll be having this tax advantage for Sikkim facility. So till that time, our effective tax rate is going to be lower. It may be lower than 20% also. But definitely it will be lower than normal tax.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you, so when you, mention about, margin expansion, you talked about, three, four levers, softening of API prices, cost optimization, and operating leverage. But the discussion that we had after that appears that a lot depends on the way the API prices move. Is that a right assessment? And what is the kind of, gross margin expansion that, we are factoring in for next year?
So we have in our mind our margin somewhere to be closer to 59.5. That kind of expectation we have. Yes, but going forward, we have considered this gross margin in normal scenario. If something happens and our raw material prices, API prices, or any excipient or packing material prices, it's increasing abnormally, then we need to see what impact is coming on account of that. That much we need to see. But in normal situation, we expect we'll be somewhere 59.5 for coming year.
Okay. And sir, because there are a lot of moving parts due to the U.S. business, the price erosion that we have seen, I'm just wondering if you can, state what kind of profitability is there for your domestic business, let's say for FY23, and how does that compare to, say, FY20, which was a pre-COVID year?
Sam, actually, we never segregate and give different margins for our different segments. But you also know domestic is enjoying better gross margin and better profitability. I think as far as comparison is concerned, that we may take offline also.
Okay, but next year you're guiding for 200 basis points, which would take it closer to 16%. I mean, as things normalize going forward, you sort of, focus less on US, India grows, you push higher volumes, maybe marketing expenses are higher. So overall, if you put all that together, where should this EBITDA margin stabilize with your business model, let's say, 3-4 years down the line?
In 4 years down the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 years down the line, maybe close to 18, 19, around that time, Sai. But see, there are a lot of moving parts, Sai, so let's take it year by year, honestly. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Abdul Kader Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So just a couple of clarities. So, did you mention that in Q1 you would be taking some hit on account of the severance payment for the St. Louis plant closure?
No, we did not say that. We said that whatever is taken care in the past, because some people have already been kind of laid out, yeah. We did not allude to that in Q1 there would be some severance.
All right, got it. And secondly, if I refer to your cash flow statement, it refers to an issuance of preference shares, which has led to an inflow of close to 161 crores. Where does this reflect on the balance sheet?
Oh, Abdul, you are talking about this PE investment in Enzym. And you want to know where it is appearing in balance sheet.
Okay.
No, I have not replied. I was just asking whether I am understanding your question properly or not. So, it is classified as equity instrument. And it is just below equity.
Under the non-controlling interest. Yeah.
Mm. And appearing under debt, considering other obligation aligned with it.
when you see our balance sheet, it will get reflected as under other financial liability.
Okay, got it.
So you must not be having our detailed grouping wise balance sheet. When you refer our consolidated balance sheet, it will appear under other financial liability.
Sure, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Puneet Pujara from Helios Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So my question was on Enzyme Bio. What was the revenue and EBITDA we generated for the full year?
Sorry. Okay, for Enzyme. Okay.
Yeah, so for the year 22-23 on biosimilars, total revenue we have somewhere around 160 crore kind of.
And sir, absolute EBITDA?
EBITDA, we are still, because R&D spending is sizable. But when we see on business level, it is break-even. Right now, after taking R&D spending, there will be still losses in that. So we are not talking on EBITDA right now. We'll be talking from 24 onwards.
Sure, sir. So in past, we have said that we'll be incurring close to 100 crore investment in Enzyme. So is that run rate likely to continue going forward?
Yeah.
Sure. And can you update on denosumab and tocilizumab clinical trials? I think you have guided for denosumab filing by calendar 24 end. So are we on track for that?
Yeah, we are on track for that, on denosumab.
Sure, sir. And what would be the current stake in Enzyme after this fundraise on fully diluted basis? And what's the use of the funds that we have raised?
So we have given option to them to get converted to 8%. So remaining 92%, a small portion, it may be under its point, but rest of shareholding is with Alchem only.
Sure, sir. And the use of the funds?
Sorry?
Use of fund
usage. Use of the funds.
Enzyme is going to use this fund for their U.S. requirement because for biosimilar, we have aggressive U.S. plan as well. So CapEx is going to start from this year. And mainly it will be used for business and more particularly for U.S. business.
Sure, sir. That answers my question. I join back the queue. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Saad Sheikh from Pop Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, do we have any direct sales to hospitals? And if yes, what would be the percentage? And the related question is, with the recent federal government order of curtailing MR activities at the hospital, do we envisage any impact because we are acute heavy? So with that, have any impact? Also, with our recent MR addition, will we be relooking at after this? Thanks.
A lot of echo in your voice, so the question was not clear. What I understood was you're asking about our hospital business and what is the percentage. So normally our hospital business are more of a corporate in nature, so we don't participate much in public hospitals. So corporate hospitals, yes, we have. And, you know, this is around in a range of around 6-8%. Yeah, that's the corporate hospital business. But we don't really participate much in government tenders.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the question. So on the raw material cost, is the pressure on the year largely on account of the higher energy prices? And if there is any sense you can give us in terms of what proportion of our raw material is around the energy and related derivatives?
So Nitin,
Penji is asking how much your raw material is Penji impacted.
Yeah, so Penji is used in so many anti-infective APIs, and
And our NT factory, as you know, we are the leader in that. So around 40% of our portfolio is for NT factory. So you can understand Penji is a major contributor to overall API cost in that. As far as movement is concerned, yes, we saw price is getting a little bit softened, and I think nowadays it's going somewhere close to $32-$34 kind of situation. Earlier it was quite high, and that was pinpoint.
And then what has been the normalized pricing you've seen in Penji versus $30 to $34 you're seeing right now versus maybe a couple of years back in a more sort of when things are more normal on the Penji pricing front?
What is the question? He's asking what is the normal.
Normal.
It was like $8 even 2-3 years back. So difficult to say now what it will go back. Then when will it go back? We don't know.
And essentially, when you're looking at this as Penji as a product for us going forward, I mean, what is given what is you picking up from the market? What is the realistic level you see this probably settles at a more normalized level?
We don't know honestly. That's what we just said. We cannot predict. Very difficult to say that.
So, typically, how does Elkem go about handling this? This is a large component of our raw material. So, just curious, and if you can give us any sense on how are we looking to handle this volatility on the Penji side?
So, obviously, Penji is from Penji. We make we buy the API. We don't buy Penji. Point number one. So, Penji is an input for all of our API suppliers. Now, obviously, we have some norms where we think the price will either go up or go down. And we kind of, we stock up when if we think our prices are going up. Right now, we our stock operations or inventory positions maintain more of a neutrality. We're not predicting stocks, price going up or going down. We are following the norm right now. We're not anticipating any up or down movement.
Maybe the last one, the planned commercialization of our domestic Penji capacity, do you see some of these three situations can ease for us maybe in a few quarters down the line on this account?
Sorry, your question is what if domestic guys make it? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that there's a large domestic capacity expected to come through on Penji.
Yeah, it is, but we don't know what price they'll supply to us. We really don't know how China will react. There's a lot of moving parts, so we hope it does. But do we know it will? The answer is no. We don't know right now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rahul Veera from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to understand the capital allocation policy going forward.
Can you speak a little bit louder, please?
Hi, sir. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, wanted to understand the capital allocation policy going forward. Like, what is the capex and what is the investment that you are looking for the biosimilar assets from your own?
So, I think you are asking for our capex for 24. So, our estimate is somewhere close to 300 to 350 crores.
Okay.
What was your next question?
What would be the proportion of the capex going towards the biosimilar assets?
So, out of this 350, substantial is going to be biosimilars only.
Okay, fair point, sir. And what are we thinking about the capital allocation in terms of dividends or anything beyond, because the kind of balance sheet that we have as of now, plus the generation over the next 2 years, what are the plans for that?
Actually, declaring dividend is not in our authority, sir. And it has to be board and ultimately shareholders. Okay. But yes, our dividend policy is there.
And having the cost.
Yeah. So our dividend guidelines is around 25% of profit.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Gagan Tareja from Ask. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, Gagan, go ahead. Yeah.
Sir, first question is on the R&D cost pertaining to enzyme. Could you enumerate the number?
Yeah, R&D of enzyme biosimilars for 24 is going to be somewhere close to 150 crores.
Yeah. But this does not include the CT cost of denosumab. It includes. I mean, it includes it all also.
Okay. Okay. The second one, does the quarter, you know, show the full impact of the revised NLEM pricing on whatever bits of your portfolio have been impacted by it, or it'll come through in the next quarter fully?
So actually, different period NLEM notification it came. So when we talk a substantial amount, say 40 crore impact in our quarter four. So we talk entire our NLEM covered products having impact in quarter four. However, as we discussed, from April onward, even though we have opportunity to increase prices based on wholesale price in that. So then major portion is going to be neutralized once we implement this increased price of DPCO covered products. But still, yeah, a small portion is going to remain in next year also.
Okay. And if I refer back to, you know, the third quarter call transcript, you had talked about a 250 crore cost saving program. You had also indicated that, you know, a large part of that would be realized in FY24 itself. Just wanted, you know, your thoughts on that. You talked about, you know, 70, 80 crores of savings from the St. Louis plant, but can you bridge from there to the 250 crores, both in terms of when that will happen and through what will that happen?
So do we want to take that?
Yeah. Yeah. So St. Louis is one of the lever of our overall cost saving initiative which we launched. Yes, you are very right. Our objective is to have cost saving to the tune of 200 to 250 crores going forward. In 24, I think we'll be able to launch most of the exercises, and we are very optimistic sizable amount is going to come in different phases. It is going to come. So ultimately, when on annualized basis, it is going to be around 250 crore. But we need to see our timing and all this. But still, our expectation for 24, out of this 250 crore, a sizable amount is going to flow.
So then the final question is that, you know, if a sizable amount of this is going to flow through, I mean, what sort of changed in the last 3 months that, you know, you're now saying that your operating margin, you know, which you sort of inferred or surmised could reach 17% in 24, now you indicate will probably be closer to 16. I understand Q4 had its you know, ups and downs, but that doesn't have any bearing on the cost programs that you had envisaged. So just your thoughts on why, you know, that guidance is being shifted from 17.
I think guidance was also 200 basis points more than where we land. So there we are sticking to, Chief.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just trying to work the math there because the cost programs remain what they are. You have a softening of the APIs as well. So you know, how does that, because the absolute amount of savings is what it is going to be. It's got nothing to do with percentages, right?
Yeah.
So in that sense, it should therefore actually lead to a 17% margin, irrespective of what you generated in FY23.
No, not really. See, your RM prices, as I said, you know, we have an acute portfolio. It's not fallen as rapidly as we think to. We also want to be cautious on the RM prices. We were just discussing about Penji, etc. So I would really say that, yes, I mean, 17 would be great, but 16 is something which we think is more realistically which we could achieve. Because there are a lot of non-moving parts.
Okay. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Harith Ahamed from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. On Enzene, you shared the revenue number of around 160 crores for FY23. Could you give some color on the traction that you're seeing on the CDMO side of the business? Is it a meaningful contributor in this 160 crores number?
It's not a meaningful one, but it's kind of growing. So close to maybe close to 40% of it could be, no, 30% of it could be that. 30 to 40% is CDMO.
And these are for innovator customers or?
These are, I know, not all of them are innovators, but these are small biopharma. These are not big innovators.
Okay. And the fundraise that you've done at Enzene, can you help us understand the thought process, especially given that we have a net cash position of around 2,000 crores and we continue to see strong cash generation? What's the rationale here?
Yeah, the rationale is, one, see, we wanted to kind of set a benchmark for the valuations to some extent. Second, it validates our strategy because, you know, anybody who comes in does a thorough DD. That's number two. Third, these guys, you know, they are fidelity, so they have a huge network of other biopharmaceuticals which they have invested in. So we get to learn from them. We could do business with a lot of them. And it helps us kind of, you know, make the company truly independent, where it's run by its own board and the investor is sitting on the board, ask us the right questions. And eventually, kind of in 5 to 6 years, you know, we could list it. So we see Enzene as a full-fledged, substantial, independent company driving a lot of value in the next 5 to 6 years.
Okay, that's helpful. And last one, on the margin decline that we've seen in FY23 versus FY22, around 500 basis points, is it correct to assume that almost this entire decline has come from the domestic business and the, you know, RM cost pressures in the acute portfolio in the domestic business? I'm trying to understand if, you know, we are profitable at the EBITDA level in the U.S. business. So some color on that will also be helpful.
I think I'm with Mr. Dubey give details, but I would first say, see, last year was a COVID year. We had a lot of tailwinds, so therefore your EBITDA all looks substantially great. So the comparison itself is, I think, not the best. And 500%, that basis point is declined EBITDA, led by gross margin. And Mr. Dubey, you could throw some light there.
Yeah. So out of these 500, definitely at gross level and the expenditure is equally divided. So in this year, spending, it was on the higher side. Even we had pressure on gross margin also, mainly API cost and price depletion in U.S. market. So here I'm talking for entire year. So in that case, these are the two contributors to pressure on gross margin level. So putting both this together, around 500 basis point compromise has happened at EBITDA level.
Okay, and will you be able to share the margin range for the U.S. business, at least whether it's profitable, post R&D at the EBITDA level?
No, but in individual business wise, margin discussion we are not doing.
All right. Thank you, sir, for taking my questions.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Tushar Manudhane. Please go ahead. Mr. Tushar, please go ahead with your question. Mr. Tushar, please go ahead with your question.
Am I audible?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Okay. So just on other expenses, excluding R&D, even if I leave aside 30-40 crore of higher marketing expenses, still the quarter-over-quarter other expenses is higher. So, and how do we think about it for full year and particularly for fourth quarter FY23?
So, Tushar, your question is after taking out 30-40 crores from marketing spend, we are not in normal kind of situation, and the additional spending is there. I think if I see quarter and compare with last year's quarter four, I think 30-40 crore is not that amount. That is higher amount.
So quarter or quarter, not previous quarter, not the last year quarter, 3Q FY23.
Yeah. So on quarter on quarter basis, in fact, it was 670 crore vis-a-vis 790 crore. So actually, just give me a minute, and let me just have this.
Sure. On the similar line, so 670 to 790. So even if I remove 30-40 crores, still the increase is good, another 70-80 crores. So
yeah, so total 123 crores. So if I take out 40-50 crores from marketing, still, so another contributor is Forex. Actually, in quarter three, there was Forex gain of higher amount, which has, still we have gain only in quarter four, but that amount is not that big. So in quarter three, it was bigger amount. And then on the rates and taxes front also, a reasonably sizable amount debit, it has come in quarter four. So these three factors are there in that. So marketing spend around 40 to 50 crore. Second, Forex gain in quarter three vis-a-vis quarter four. And then rates and taxes. Forex gain and Forex loss, it is getting neutralized. So when you have more gain, then your debit is, means your other expense is on lower side.
Got it. So 700, 720 per quarter, or roughly 2800 can be the assumption for next year, right? In terms of other expenses, including R&D.
Yeah. So around 24% kind of situation we expect.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The last question comes from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Just two questions. So we have seen sales and marketing expense going up in this quarter. But let's say on a full year basis, would you say that now the sales and marketing expense as a percentage of revenue has normalized for FY23, which would be more in line with pre-COVID level, or we had some earlier quarters where it was low and that could again normalize in FY24, some normalization?
So Kunal, exactly, I was talking same thing. So our normal other expenses where marketing expenses is reported, that has to be in the range of 23.5-24%, or 23.5 to 24.5%. So if you see for this year, it is more than 25%, and in quarter if you see, it is more than 27%. We believe going forward, it has to be somewhere in the range of 23.5 to 24%.
So that assumes that our sales and marketing expense has now normalized and would not see any, significant growth in a way, the way we have seen.
That's
in
our
sequential bit. Okay, perfect. And before, let's say, our field force expansion, and right now it's around 17,500, what would have that been in FY22?
We are adding roughly around 1,000 every year. So, retrospectively, you can count for 20.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so 1,000 MR and then roughly 40% additional managerial load. So, 1,400.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. And incrementally, where these people are being deployed, in particular geographies we are focusing, or particular therapies, divisions that we are creating, any color would be helpful.
So, It's largely focused on therapies. So 2 years before it was kind of acute and subchronic, and last year we expanded more in chronic. So it depends on our therapy requirement, and we by and large covers all the potential geographies.
So and then so when I would say then when would you you know expect you know whatever I think currently we have 4 lakh productivity per month per member you know where would be the 5 year goal you know and how fast you can improve that you know.
So see generally this is not a fixed number, but if you go by the history of pharmaceuticals, generally a productive increase from a new person on a yearly basis, depending on what kind of product you are promoting, it ranges somewhere around 70,000 to 80,000 on an annualized basis. So if you have to say reach a 4.5 lakh, so you keep on adding 70,000 every year, it will take around 4 to 5 years to reach that level.
Okay. Sure, that's helpful. Thanks and all the best. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call. If any of your queries are unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. Thank you and have a great weekend.
Thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.